playback on RT Radio 1. Sponsored by the all-new Irish Times Weekend. With new writers like Marion Keyes and Sean Moncrief, your weekend's in good hands.
Oh, sometimes 2FM gets it so wrong.
Laura Fox, hello, how are you?
Oh, hi.
Laura Fox was in with Blanna Tracy talking about what to watch on telly.
We are all having some serious withdrawal symptoms. The Game of Thrones is gone. The Big Bang Theory is drawing to a close. It's all finishing up, but we need new shows to binge on.
No, you don't. Turn over to Radio 1. For example, they talked about scary telly.
Stranger Things. You're a big fan of Stranger Things.
I'm a huge fan of Stranger Things. Now, I couldn't watch it on my own because it is very freaky and strange.
Well, at the same time, on Radio 1, Matthew Paris was telling Sean O'Rourke about something really scary, and it wasn't pretend scary. He was talking about cuddly Boris Johnson, the man who wants to be the next British Prime Minister. A bullioned, tousle-headed rogue, Boris.
He's been very cruel to quite a few people. He plotted with a friend to get a journalist beaten up because the friend had been accused by that journalist, and indeed the friend did end up in prison.
Back on 2FM, they had moved on to reboots of 80s TV.
Next up, we have got Dynasty. It is a remake of the 80s Dynasty. My mother made so much fun of me. She's like, what do you mean you're watching Dynasty?
Dynasty? If you want to hear what 80s TV sounded like, Radio 1 and Sean O'Rourke was the place for that too. One listener who wrote to playback at rte.ie said the row between politicians Manix Flynn and Kieran Allen sounded like Ballymagash TV from Hall's Pictorial Weekly.
I don't think any of our members are involved in beheading people, so that type of language is completely unbecoming.
That's rich coming from the likes of you, I have to say. It's rich coming from people.
No, that's what they're saying.
When someone they start roaring at people, see, look, no he, big deal. But when I start challenging them, oh yes,
You're interrupting. Yes, Maddox.
Independent councillor Manix Flynn and Kieran Allen, People Before Profit, from Today with Sean O'Rourke on Tuesday. And back on 2FM at the same time, Laura and Blanet were talking about the election.
It's absolutely mad to see what unfolds and what actually happened there and then. You're the whole time going...
No, they weren't. They were still talking about binge-watching TV.
Yeah, and I feel like you can get to know people better when you can see them over a long span of time.
Well, she's right about that, because anyone binging on Radio 1 got to know a few of the RTE reporters a bit better over the week, like Brian O'Connell at the election count in Cork.
And then, of course, the ballot paper, you know, when you hear them dropping on the table, there's a thud. Like, I've had shorter relationships than this ballot paper, it's so long.
It all kicked off on Saturday morning. And curiously, that morning on RTE Gold, Mike Maloney played a song that provided the soundtrack to the unfolding events of the week.
A brief word with you, Barry Lenihan, in our count centre.
Well, for those involved, just a word of warning. They'll need the stamina of Tiger Roll. The final count on Midlands Northwest 5 years ago didn't finish until 9:40 a.m. on the Thursday. On such a time.
Kay Sheehy in Simmons Court in Dublin.
When we get the first count, I think we'll have
You'll
the best
be able to
idea.
Make a better yeah. picture, yeah. And when do you think that might be, Kay?
Oh, God only knows.
Right, okay. It's gonna be a
long, long time. The first count then, Mary, not expected until 6 p.m. Could be a long night ahead. I actually just met a man in the car park. He told me he has his paisley pyjamas in the car and he reckons he'll be sleeping there tonight. And I think it's gonna
be South Tallaght, the poll topper there is the Sinn Féin candidate Patrick Pearce Holohan, who's also known as the Hooligan. He's a former UFC fighter and a former teammate of Conor McGregor, and he could be joined in South Dublin Council by Kenneth Egan of Fine Gael, the former Olympic boxer. So if there's disagreements between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin.
John Cook in Castlebar.
I spoke to Anne Rabbit as she left the count centre.
Parties often only get to put forward one candidate. Do you think they gave Brendan Smith a better deal in terms of media coverage than you? Is that what you're suggesting?
All I'm saying is I had a particular message. That message didn't get out there. I didn't have the platform for it. Perhaps I would have liked it.
You're upset today, are you?
Absolutely not.
Kay, I know you said yesterday tallies were very scrappy there as well.
Well, scrappy was better than none. When you said soaking up the atmosphere, you could do it with a small packet of tissues here in the RDS.
It's a logistical nightmare, to be honest with you, for the staff in the count centre here, Mary. Somebody just asked me, kind of wryly, whether anyone in the country has kept the receipts for the e-voting machines.
But they didn't factor in Ian McGarvey. He was 6 votes ahead of the final count, and he staved off the Fine Gael challenge in the end. 89 next month, which means, Sarah, I think for the next local elections, when he stands again, probably he'll be 93.
A dispute broke out at the Dublin County Centre of the European elections last night. Gavin Riley, political correspondent with Virgin Media News.
I go to Twitter to explain what the dispute is. I don't know what the collective noun is for senior counsel, but I get an awful clatter of senior counsel all coming back to me, all offering slightly different interpretations of what the law is actually supposed to mean.
Patricia McKenna's on the line, former MEP. It's obviously been something you've been aware of, Patricia.
Technically, Dublin is a 3-seater. It may eventually be a 4-seater, because if the British don't leave, a person has been denied a seat that they were entitled to in a 3-seater. You know, it's legally a no-brainer, in my opinion. And I think it's going to be a
long, long time. Sean Kelly, with 119,883 papers, has exceeded the quota and is deemed to be elected.
As the votes of Maria McGuinness exceed the quota, I now deem her to be elected.
As the votes of Kieran Cuff exceed the quota, I deem him to be elected.
I can't tell you a whole lot about the 11th count because I did manage to sneak home and reintroduce myself to my family. They seem quite nice.
Elton John from RTE Gold on Saturday morning at the beginning of the election count marathon that still isn't over. And Elton John's name was all over RTE radio this week because of a new biopic about him. He also came up for unkind mention on Joan Bowman's RTE Radio Archives programme on Sunday morning. John was marking the 40th anniversary of 2FM by playing an extract of a programme presented by Pat Kenny from April 1979, which was anticipating the arrival of the new pop station, then known as Radio 2.
But from the beginning, there remained this dissatisfied grumbler who couldn't be pleased. Who'd want to be in charge of the complaints department when Mervyn Wall was chief critic?
Mervyn, you've heard about the new plans for Radio 2 and basically music with the odd bits interspersed here and there. What do you think of that kind of radio service?
Well, I personally don't like it, to tell you the truth, because I think public taste is never so bad that it may not be worsened. And if I may talk about a programme I heard today, for instance, I don't like a great deal of these sham American voices on radio. Now, I listened this morning to Monday Request. Some character called Elton John in singing I Don't Care. Now, it was just an echo of the jungle, and the singer's screeching and grunting sounded exactly like a female cannibal in labour.
Well, I've never actually met one of those, Mervyn, but I'll take your word for it.
Mervyn Wall with Pat Kenny from Open Line. Whatever happened to him? I mean, Mervyn, not Pat. That was broadcast in April 1979 and also heard in John Bowman's programme to mark the 40th anniversary of 2FM. And of course, 2FM also marked their own birthday. And one way was with a documentary by Will Leahy about the station called The Uncensored Story. And here's how it opened.
Coming at you, the sound of RTE's Radio 2 due to start broadcasting next week.
Today we are inaugurating a second national radio service. I'm Sinish, program radio at all.
Welcome to the first show on Radio 2.
Vincent Hanley here on 2 until midday.
You're on the outside track.
That's the Beatles paperback writer. I'm Jim O'Neill.
Night Train with Cagney.
Lovely, you've got a cassette machine already, have you?
This is Big Mad Strikes Again from the forthcoming The Queen is Dead LP, The Smiths.
Just a minute, the 60-second quiz.
And it didn't suit you.
The fastest hour of the day.
It's Nighttime 2FM, and this is Aiden with your cruise to snooze.
Welcome to the 2FM Beat on the Street.
I don't believe it.
Completely true.
Hey, it's Dusty Rhodes, the hotline here on 2FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Gareth O'Callaghan in the afternoon.
All right.
We're only at midnight on 2FM.
Yes, and good afternoon. Welcome to the Saturday Show.
Hello!
I am one. Represent, you know.
I need a holy moly mug as Bill Clinton is coming over for tea and cake. Well, only if we can come too.
I think we should end it there because I've kind of lost my thread.
That's fine.
You're like an elephant, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
A big drunk on you.
Weekenders, Ruth and Paddy, and we are backstage at Electric Picnic.
It's Hector O'Hookon. I have been waiting on this day for a long, long time.
You've just won 1,000 euros!
And then someone else says, I love the feeling of relief after bursting to go to the toilet.
One or two.
We did not.
You've made my day.
Love you, bye.
Remember, you tell us and we'll tell them.
The Rhyme Line is open, is open, is open.
The opening of The Uncensored Story, the documentary on 40 years of 2FM by Will Leahy. You can hear it again on Monday evening at 6 on Radio 1. And that opening montage was put together by Shane Freeman. And you may have noticed in there Dave Fanning referring to The Smiths. Their former lead singer Morrissey was featured on Arena. And he has a new album out.
Wind of change, patriarchs, snug in your Bible belt dreams. God goes up the chimney like childhood. Santa Claus, the good slaves love the good book. A rebel loves the cause.
Jackie Fox and Simon Marr came into Sean Rocks to review it.
Now, when you both came through the door, you started at the minute of, what is he doing? What is Morrissey at? What on earth is this all about?
Yeah.
So before you start that conversation, Simon, just tell me what he has done on this album.
He has decided, as he is entitled to do, he has gone back into his songbook and decided there's songs from the 60s and the 70s that I want to cover. Yeah. And he's covering them in a uniquely Morrissey sort of a way. But with so many of the songs, it sounds like, if nothing else, he's never heard them before. And he's just been handed a song sheet and so, sing that. Yeah. And it's been recorded and now it's been released as an album.
Although that track that I just played, I believe, was one of your highlights on the album, Jackie Fox. Was it the only highlight you could find?
I think we were just saying there as it was playing, it was the best of a certain bunch more than anything else.
Jackie Fox and Simon Marr on Arena, reviewing Morrissey's performance. And another Simon reviewed another performance this week.
Look, I think it was unfortunate.
Minister Simon Harris. His colleague Charlie Flanagan weighed in with his review.
Well, I was very surprised at its tone and content.
As did their colleague Regina Doherty.
I think there's been a series of judgment errors, in my humble opinion. I think she did herself a disservice this morning.
They were, of course, reviewing the interview Sean O'Rourke did with TD Maria Bailey about her claim for compensation after falling off a swing in a Dublin hotel.
There are some radio interviews, they're compelling, sometimes called stay-in-the-car moments.
Mary Wilson on Drive Time featured the interview. She spoke to Hugh O'Connell of the Sunday Business Post, who reckoned that as well as her claim against the hotel, Maria Bailey could lodge another claim.
She could be entitled to put in another personal injuries claim, given this was such a horrendous interview, a car crash interview.
Maria Bailey, Fine Gael TD for Dunleary Rathdown. Good morning to you.
Morning, Sean.
It wasn't Sean O'Rourke's finest hour on radio. Time and time again, despite his wily attempts to lure Maria Bailey into a broader logical explanation of her actions, she deftly sidestepped him. And Maria Bailey managed to go on for 20 minutes presenting her unique take on the world, despite Sean O'Rourke.
I was hurt. I have medical expenses. Nobody questions that here. And the reason it took such great traction here, Sean, is I am the subject of clickbait. So it was trending so well, and I have to say, well done. I handed them a fantastic headline. I accept that.
Right. Now, can I just go back? Because you have an understandable grievance that what was a private matter, medical reports and so forth became public. Nonetheless, you know, that is what happened. Mm. Can we go right back to the night in July of 2015? Mm. What happened?
As you know, Sean, I'm not a big social animal. I rarely go out. To be honest, I'm quite happy to sit at home, pyjamas on the couch with the kids. But I went out that night and we met at my friend's house in Sandyford. We had a glass of wine each. We hopped on the Lewis and we went to a bar hotel that had just recently opened. We purchased a drink each at the bar, which we didn't consume. We went up in the lift. We saw the swings. Nobody was drunk. Nobody was messing. They're like polished wood, these seats. I sat in them. I did have a bottle of beer in my hand. And next thing I knew, I was on the floor.
Okay, one bottle of beer in one hand.
I had my beer in my hand, and then I was reaching for my friend's. I had a bottle of wine. She was taking her camera out of her jacket. I then found myself on the floor. I was mortified. I jumped up because I was just mortified. I went to the bathroom with two of my friends to assess. I had a few cuts and grazes, whatever.
Just clarify one thing. Did you have something in each hand when this happened?
Sean, that would have been a case for the judge to adjudicate on.
No, and but I'm what not is your recollection?
Sean, I am not opening a trial here. No, I
but people,
have been...
I mean, it's a legitimate question to ask you because this, you came here to talk about this whole case and why you dropped it. Now, for you not to be able to tell me, and you've dropped the case, so the question of a judge doesn't actually arise.
Well,
I'm
actually,
just simply
it
asking
does.
You to tell
it
me
actually does,
what happened.
Sean, and I tell you why it does matter. Because I believe in our judicial system in this country, and I believe the proper place for that is the four courts.
But and you're not going there now.
Sean. And let me tell you why I'm not going there. So due to the unbelievable abuse, I wasn't able to go home for 3 days last week because journalists were sitting outside my home. That is an invasion of my privacy and humanity has been crossed.
Okay, also, but just go back to the bottles
let
then.
Me just, can I just say this, Sean, to you? Let me be very clear here. As a state, we need to decide who our judicial system is here. Is it the media or is it the courts? The media were judge, jury and execution in a leaked document, a partial document that was not finalised.
There were not just the media writing and reporting on it, as is their perfect right. Mm. There were former senior ministers, including a former Attorney General, who spoke about it in the Shannon, Michael McDougall.
He should know better. It was a live case.
You had Micheál Martin. You had
he
Brendan
should know
Howland.
Better too. Without fact, these people should know better without fact. These are legislators.
But you were an irresistible target. Now, what
absolutely.
I want to go back to is
hands up
how,
to that.
How can you sit on a swing and hold bottles in your hand and presume you won't fall?
Sean, I was injured. I am the one who suffered an injury. I never claimed for compensation. The hotel agreed to pay my medical expenses. I ended up in A&E the next morning. Nobody else got hurt here except me. I never said I stopped living. I never said I stopped walking.
Explain
that
one
is not
thing
my
to me.
Attitude.
In what
three
way?
3 weeks later, I went through intensive physio for 3 weeks. And as somebody, it's well documented that I am an avid runner. It is well documented out there. I've never hidden from that. And running is a cornerstone of my general well-being and keeping me medicated to offset cluster migraines. I went through intensive physio and like any athlete, I wanted to dip my toe into the water to see could I do it. Now, I paid the price for it that night and I regretted doing it.
So
and I had
you're
to go
confirming
through.
That within 3 weeks of
I
this
I never
happening.
Denied that. I put
I'm not
that on my social media.
But is it not the case that in your statement of claim, you said that you weren't able to do any running for 3 months?
No. Yes, sorry, it is in the claim and that is wrong because, and I've instructed, and this, you see, this is where it's dangerous. When you cross legal documents at an early stage, the plaintiff has every right to amend those particulars prior to it going to a judge and a judge can adjudicate in due course on that. So I was the one who put it on my social media. I had nothing to hide here.
Indeed.
Sean, you know me as somebody upfront and with integrity.
But just tell me as well, I mean, you were at a festival, a music festival, within a week of this happening.
I went to Marley Park with my friends and I sat on the grass and I watched a band and I left and I went home. I never said I locked myself away in a monastery. Like, this is a joke.
Maria Bailey outwitting Sean O'Rourke on the Today programme. But then you have to ask yourself, while we're all gaping at Maria Bailey and wondering what to do with a problem like Maria, are we getting distracted and taking our eye off what the government is doing elsewhere?
And as we know, the Green Party did very well in last week's elections, and in the days since, the government has been keen to point to its own green credentials. The Minister for Climate Action and the Environment, Richard Bruton, was with us on Monday morning, promising a radical policy change when he publishes his climate action plan soon. But within hours of that interview, his department approved a drilling licence for CNOOC Petroleum Europe to drill for oil and gas off the Kerry coast.
Audrey Carville from Morning Ireland. If you missed out on your weekly dose of weird, check out Chris and Kira on 2FM. They were talking about the theme park ride people are giving out about. You've heard about it. You haven't? Oh, have a listen to this.
It's really bizarre. Really, really bizarre. Because this theme park, it's in Tennessee. Uh-huh. They've called it an immersive museum, okay? And they wanted to focus on the history of the American tabloid and all the celebrity stories that went with it, okay? So the theme park, it was due to open, I think, was it last Friday? It will also feature replicas of the crime scene where O.J. Simpson's ex-wife was found murdered.
Oh, my God.
And of where Michael Jackson dangled his baby from a hotel balcony.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. That was Blanket, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this U.S. theme park, it's been criticized because it unveiled an attraction based on Princess Diana's death.
And my understanding with this is you're going to be able to like do a 3D presentation of being in the tunnel that they were in as the pap, because the whole thing, of course, with that was that they died because the paparazzi were chasing them, and they were driving really fast to try and evade the paparazzi.
Creators of the Diana exhibition, they said it was sensitively handled and it was definitely not in poor taste, right? They said there's no blood, there's none of that. So that's nice, you know. They said you can see the car crash through computer animation. So it's projected and you can see the buildings and everything in a 3D presentation, and it shows the pathway as she left the Ritz Hotel and the paparazzi chasing her and the bang flash that we think blinked the driver and how it happened.
Weird. Perverse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
However, you'll be able to experience it. There you go. A recreation of the Diana
other
crash.
Other rooms. Will I tell you what else is going to be in this messed up theme park?
A Holocaust themed room.
Well, other rooms will focus on conspiracy theories about John F. Kennedy's assassination and a famed 1977 National Choir photo of Elvis Presley's corpse.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow is one way of putting it. Chris and Kira with a little bit of weird on 2FM, and Liveline had a little bit of strange on Radio 1. They were talking to people about suing for injuries following the Maria Bailey TD news when Sandra phoned in. She told Philip Boucher Hayes about the time she had a car accident. She settled for the damage to the car but didn't make a personal injury claim. And then she got a phone call.
That's right. The first phone call I got was a bit earlier than that, when I was asked to go to the other insurance or the insurance company's company doctor. And I went along and I was puzzled as to why I had to go, but I went. And then 6 or 8 months later than that, I got a phone call one Friday afternoon offering me, I think it starts at $12,500 to settle the claim that day.
But you hadn't made a claim?
I had made no claim whatsoever, had not involved a solicitor. I hadn't even spoken to a solicitor, hadn't even gone to a doctor.
They weren't mixing you up with somebody else, were they?
Well, they rang me again the following Friday.
And were the amounts going up each time?
Each time, yeah.
They must have thought that you were trying to play hardball with them while you were trying to figure out what's going on.
Absolutely.
And how much did the claims go up, the payment go up to?
It went up to just under €20,000.
Did you take the money?
Yes.
Were you ever given an explanation as to why this happened?
No explanation. I was given a form to sign that would be my final claim.
But you hadn't made a claim.
I made no claim in the first place at all.
Well,
I was literally being pestered by phone calls every Friday. And I did ask somebody and they told me that, you know, when the insurance company wants to settle, they normally ring at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
So make sure your phone is charged on a Friday afternoon. Earlier in the week, Liveline was taking calls from retired Defence Force members. Now, if you've ever met someone from the Irish Defence Forces, you'll know that for them, their biggest enemy over the years is not some foreign threat, but their own department. The Department of Defence. The department is accused of exercising a miserly stranglehold over the Defence Forces. Harry Mulhern rang Joe Duffy with one such example.
At one stage, there was a fleet of cars bought. Anyway, it was sent back because they came with radios. The same as everyone buys a car now, there's a radio.
Radio, yes, yes.
There was radios in it. Take them back, take the radios out.
Why?
Even though, by taking the radios out, it made no difference to the price of the vehicles. That was a mentality.
But why did he want the radio out?
They can't be having these luxuries.
What?
Yeah.
And what if they listen to Marty Whelan on Lyric FM, they might lose their will to fight for Ireland?
Prepare their country.
Well, Joe, if you heard Marty during the week, you might be inclined to agree with the Department of Defence about radios and cars. Marty had a very distracting interview with one young man who turned up during an outside broadcast from Bloom.
Now, Adam, Yes. Yeah, turn around, Adam. I can't look at you. I don't want you facing me, Adam. You're beginning to give me a bit of a worry. Are you not mortified, in fairness?
Yeah, I keep forgetting that I'm actually naked.
I know, yeah. Now, this is clearly part of your thing as well, this Extinction Rebellion.
Adam was there as part of the Extinction Rebellion group protesting ecological collapse, and he wasn't totally naked. He was wearing body paint.
Why are you painted gold?
Raise awareness, I suppose. It's
well, I'll tell you, whatever about raising awareness, I'll tell you something. I hope it washes off. It's you're biodegradable, eh?
Please God, it's...
Please God, because that's not the way you want to go to Coppers over the weekend. Even though you're dressed in their colour. Yeah.
Fairness, yeah.
Marty Whelan with Adam at the Phoenix Park. And thanks to Noel Brown, who suggested that to playback at rte.ie. Earlier in the week, Marty had Guy Barker in studio. He's arranged Miles Davis's Kind of Blue for orchestra, and he was performing it with the RTE Concert Orchestra this week. Guy Barker has worked with several big names in music, including Frank Sinatra, and he told a story about Frank taking his time to say goodbye on stage. Now, much was always made of Frank's repeated retirements and comebacks, but on stage, the musicians loved him because Frank always kept an eye on the clock at the end of a concert.
The suggestion was that you got overtime by because he let the clock run.
Well, that's right. Because the contractor, the guy who fixed it, was standing next to me and he was laughing and he said, he's doing it. I said, what? He said, he's just saying thank you. He said, he's just put you 5 minutes over so everybody will have to get paid more.
It's not terrific. It's a terrific story.
Guy Barker with Marty Whelan. On Drive Time then, Brian Lally went to the rehearsals for the performance with the RTE Concert Orchestra.
Well, it used to go like that. And tomorrow night at the National Concert Hall, it's going to go like this. The most famous and influential album in jazz music history is being orchestrated by the RTE Concert Orchestra under Guy Barker.
Brian Lally's report at the National Concert Hall with the RTE Concert Orchestra. Another report this week came from the tall ship the Lord Nelson, moored in Cork Harbour. Brian O'Connell went along for Seascapes to meet the new crew coming aboard.
Just make sure you... Okay, ma'am. Just line yourself up centrally there.
What makes this crew unusual is that many of them have spinal injuries.
Do you want me to do it, or you're happy? Manoeuvring? Ready? Just tip back. Mind your toes. That's it.
One of those is Jim Clancy.
Thankfully, I'm on the lower bunk, so if I fall, I won't be too far.
Have you been on a ship before?
I have, yes. I sailed in the Asgard 2 when I was 16, out of Cork. No, that was before my injury, when I was able-bodied.
You nervous?
Oh, got it. Yes.
What does it mean to be able to do a trip like this, Jim?
Well, I'm hoping that I will learn balance from the injury I had, which was spinal cord injury, incomplete at my neck level. So everything below was gone. So you're relearning everything like a baby would. I've no problem going upstairs because I can crawl. It's like I've no problem. I find it easier to go up mountains, but I crawl. Like I have to wear knee pads. I mean, you're expected to work on this. I mean, some people think I'm going on a cruise. It's not like that.
Jim Clancy with Brian O'Connell on Seascapes. This is Lucia Evans on Today with Sean O'Rourke.
When the sun goes down and darkness dances in, oh, how this Broadway town goes on as others settle in. Where dreamers find the midnight moon so blue and moves the sea, New York in my dreams. Bring me back to watch the sun go down on my Hudson River home, to hear the sea majestic bridge where where the skyline shines so bright, the skies above my Hudson River. Old, bring me back the day to watch the strawberry fields turn gold where lovers lay, and let the Harlem chorus rise across the pavement streets. My heart's on River home. Bring me back to watch the sun go down upon the Brooklyn Bridge, waiting for the dawn to hear the city cry along the wild river tides where the skyline shines so bright, the spires above my Hudson.
Lucia Evans, accompanied by Brian Byrne, from a new musical written by him called The Angel of Broadway. The drama on one this week was a collection of short pieces by Offaly Youth Theatre, working with Jigsaw Offaly Services.
Oh no. God. Breathe. I am bloody breathing. Okay, come on. Positive thinking. It's only one night. Shit. Oh, my heart's pounding. Okay, slow. In and out. That's it. Nice and slow. It's just 24 fecking hours, Amy. It'll be fine. I'll be fine. What can happen in one night? Loads of people go on school tours every day, and they're all fine. Except for the ones that aren't, that is. Oh, Jesus. Oh, here it comes. Maybe it's not one of my flaps. Maybe it's an actual heart attack this time. Mum! Oh, room spinning. Oh, my hands feel fizzy. Pins and needles. What did Lisa say? I can't think. Okay. Lie down. Oh, my heart's in my throat. Shit. Okay, I remember. Be in the moment. Be in control. I am not going to die. In. Out. It'll pass. It always passes. It's gonna be okay. That's it. Nice and calm.
Emma Regan in School Tour by Lorna Kelly Dalton from this week's Drama on One, which had the overall title of Write Your Mind, a project on youth mental health with Offaly Youth Theatre. What would Joe O'Connor's granny have made of that? Doubtless she'd have had an opinion. In his Drive Time column, he reminisced on his granny's relationship with the radio. For example, her reaction to Radio Éireann's Agony Aunt.
People would write in to Radio Éireann with their problems. My grandmother would listen, astonished, to Frankie Byrne scolding a nurse who had permitted herself to have a crush on a married man, or a national school teacher who, while on holiday in Bundoran, had accepted a kiss from a chap not her fiancé. "That's telling her, Frankie," my grandmother would sometimes say, or, more usually, "Don't be too hard on the poor girl, Frankie. Sure, loneliness is a terrible thing."
Joe O'Connor from Drive Time. The image of the week, other than Joe's granny talking to the radio, came from the RTE Radio Archives and the GAA, and it was of a man stamping on a hat. Back then, the GAA was the place for a sort of firm-jawed type of Irish manhood. In fact, according to Paul Rouse, who's an historian, he was talking on Countrywide about the GAA and the Catholic Church. He said Archbishop Croke was very clear on what separated Irish sportsmen from English sportsmen.
English games and English pastimes and English identities were effeminate follies played by degenerate dandies.
Which brings us to Seamus Mallon, the Northern politician. The RTE Radio Archives have audio of him speaking to the Armagh GAA in 2002 before their All-Ireland with Kerry. He recalled a previous occasion Armagh had played Kerry in Croke Park, back in 1953.
It was probably the first time most people in County Armagh were ever in Croke Park. And we got a penalty with about 10 minutes to go, and a dear old friend, Bill McCurry, missed that penalty. And Armagh were beaten. I think it was by 2 points for the All-Ireland final. It's the first time I ever saw a grown man crying. My father was one of those men, he always wore a hat. And the match was over. He stood up. He took off the hat, dropped it on the ground, drove it into the ground with his heel, and stood on that sideline crying.
Seamus Mallon from the RTE Radio Archives, as heard on Bowman Sunday 8:30. Shea Byrne spoke on Rising Time about a similar emotional reaction.
2-1 victory for Villa against Derby County in that playoff final. Aston Villa fans very happy this morning. Do you know any Aston Villa fans?
My uncle Dermot, 80 odd years of age, living in Birmingham for the last 60 years.
Ah, I'd say he's happy.
He couldn't speak on the phone, he was crying last night.
Actually, it was a pretty good week for Shea on Rising Time.
It's like coming home from school and everybody, all your friends are there.
Usually, if a studio goes out of service, it's bad news. But for Shea, it was the opposite. One of the studios in the news building in RTE was being worked on, so the sports and business reporters had to come over to Shea in the radio centre.
Ladies and gentlemen, live in studio.
What a kip.
What do you mean, what a kip?
It is filthy.
You've
clothes lying around the floor.
Tidy your studio, Shea, before
the smell of those beans in the pot over there is brutal.
I wish Petula Martin would come into studio.
Ta-da!
Hey! How are you?
Brilliant, fantastic.
We're not going to business news. Just thought I'd say hello because you're here early.
You're very good.
So what have we got left? We have Viva Las Vegas.
Oh, great.
The Girl of My Best Friend.
Yes.
Devil in Disguise or Jailhouse Rock?
Viva Las Vegas, hands down. I've been to Las Vegas. I touched Elvis's suit in Las Vegas.
You actually touched it?
I swear. And people took photographs of it. It was in the Hilton Hotel where he used to perform. So that was inside in a glass casing. But they didn't have an alarm on it. I put my fingers in through the glass casing. There was a little... But my fingers are really long. So I was able to touch Elvis's suit. And all the Americans were coming over taking pictures of my hand touching Elvis's suit so they could go home and show.
There's a former Rose of Tralee contestant with her hands on Elvis's suit.
Petula Martin not doing the business news with Shea Byrne. And while it was fun having all these people in studio, the sports guy Darren Frehel was of no use to Shea with his new competition.
Mallet, insect repellent, flashlight.
It involved reading a list of things to bring camping.
First aid kit.
The same list is read twice, but the second time one item is missing. The listeners had to text in with the missing item.
Ooh. Did you get it?
It's too early. It's too early.
Well, I can tell you there's about 900 entries in for it. So
and how many of those are right?
Too early for you.
As it's a bit later in the day now, do you want to have a go? Of course you do. The reader is Hannah Parks.
Mallet, insect repellent, flashlight, sunscreen, tent, first aid kit, earplugs, poncho, toothbrush, pocket knife.
Here's the mixed up list with one missing. Ready?
Insect repellent, mallet, pocket knife, flashlight, tent, earplugs, sunscreen, poncho, toothbrush.
And the answer is first aid kit.
Shea Byrne from Rising Time during the week. Sean O'Rourke had a torrid week of it. Not only was he put through the ringer by Maria Bailey, but then A.B. Philbin Bowman came in to talk about the 40th anniversary of the Monty Python film The Life of Brian.
The Pythons did try writing sketches based on actual biblical characters like Lazarus and other people, and they didn't quite work. And the Pythons have said that the main problem with doing a comedy about Jesus is they fundamentally agreed with the basic message of Jesus, like love your neighbour and be good to each other and turn the other cheek, and all of that stuff. So instead of writing a film about Jesus, they realised it would be much funnier to write a film about a man born at the same time as Jesus, who people mistake for the Messiah. And the distinction is incredibly clear, because right at the beginning of the film you see Jesus, played by a serious actor, delivering the actual Sermon on the Mount. And after a few minutes of that, it cuts to the back of the crowd where Brian is with his mother, and there's various people who can't hear the message, or who are misunderstanding it, or start fighting. At one point John Cleese's character says, "What Jesus doesn't seem to appreciate, it's the meek who are the problem." And you're looking for, how have you reached that conclusion?
But now, that was all very well until AB and Sean decided to get all theological about it.
And yet if you go back to Jesus, like one of the few things we know Jesus did in this regard is he reached out and ministered to prostitutes. Like at the time, that's an incredible thing to do.
That's a bit of an oversimplification,
He is saying to the whole society, I know you abuse these women, you mistreat these women, you look down on them, you judge them, but to me they are children of God and I want to wash their feet. And how, I cannot believe his next line was, oh, by the way, ladies, if any of you have been divorced and remarried, you won't be able to get communion. It just doesn't stack up.
I know, but I suppose people who would maybe treat the gospel more seriously would say, yes, of course he's forgiving, he's compassionate.
Yes.
But then he will say, you know, I'm not going to condemn you either. Go and do not sin again. That's a kind of a mixture of compassion and, if you like, admonition.
I think the point is that...
We leave it there. A.B. Philbin Bowman and Sean O'Rourke on the 40th anniversary of The Life of Brian. There were two other 40th anniversaries this week. One, as you've heard, was 2FM, and the other was an incredibly significant show on Radio 1. For the 2FM anniversary, the station did something pretty risky this week. They brought one of their biggest names back to life. They put together a sort of audio hologram of Jerry Ryan, similar to what's done with videos of dead singers performing. They took hours and hours of old recordings of Jerry on the Ryan line and stitched them together to make a coherent one-hour Ryan line.
Jerry Ryan, weekdays from 9.
Now, hello everybody, I'm just sitting down at my desk. Cormac has just got the machine up and running. All the lights are glowing and the right buttons have been pressed. Now, adjusting my microphone, putting on my headphones. Now I can hear everything, more particularly myself. Now, this morning, along with everything else, we also celebrate 40 years of this radio station. Started back in 1979. You may have heard the guys on The Breakfast Show talking a little bit about it this morning. Let's keep the coffee away from the desk. As banjoed and all as it is, and it's pretty banjoed, at least it still does manage to transmit the voice of G. Ryan to the nation. So keep the coffee away from that. Now, it's good to be back and the weather's nice. And it's, well, I arrived into the office this morning, there were smiling faces. Country still seems to be functioning. And I am absolutely determined that we are going to have a good summer together. Anyway, for those of you who have just woken up maybe this morning and you're preparing to get down to the last minute study,
The best of luck to you all next week. In these last moments, just relax and get through the past papers. I think that's the best thing to concentrate on today. 4 minutes past 9 o'clock, 1850-715-922. I'm back.
The Ryan Line, reversioned and revived. That was produced by Will Leahy and edited by JJ Hartigan for 2FM's 40th anniversary. And while 2FM brought a huge amount of fun into our lives, on the same day, over on Radio 1, a new programme started that brought so much light into our lives. It was called Women Today, and although it was about women, it was, of course, for everyone. RTE Radio 1 Extra played an extract from the programme as part of the What If historical series.
Today's programme, we are returning to a subject that Women Today has covered before, and that is the virtual non-availability of female sterilisation in Ireland. Whereas male sterilisation is a comparative...
To listen to it now, it sounds pretty straightforward and kind of staid, but it's hard to overstate the impact that programme had on you if you were listening as a teenager in the 1980s.
She describes to me why she decided that she wanted to be sterilised.
Because I'm rhesus negative, I have antibodies, I am expecting a child in February. I will then have four children under the age of 4.5, and this will be my...
So many of the so-called women's issues were, of course, social issues. And it wasn't just issues relating to women's health specifically, but they also referred to care, education, employment and so on. An equivalent today would be a long, slow-burn Me Too movement. So, happy anniversary, Women Today. That's it for this week. Playback will be back again with the podcast version next Friday afternoon and the broadcast version next Saturday morning. And to those of you who sent your suggestions to playback@rte.ie, thank you. Until next week, slán.